As human beings, we inevitably reach points in our life, rather frequently, that I call crisis moments, whether big or small, where we come to a realization that the direction in which we've been headed is actually a dead end. So I experienced a crisis moment when I was in middle school, and I had dreams of playing basketball for the Kansas Jayhawks and then to go to the NBA after I was done with college. But in middle school, I didn't grow past 6 foot. I realized I couldn't jump high enough to make up for my lack of height. And so I needed to find a plan B because the direction I was going, my desire for basketball, was, from a career standpoint, a dead end. In our scripture today, Peter reveals to the crowds that he preaches to in Acts that they are actually at a dead end. They are at a crisis point. With masterful preaching, Peter reveals to the crowds that they have killed the Messiah, that Jesus has risen from the dead, and if they're waiting for a different Messiah, someone to come and deliver them, then they're missing out. They are at a dead end. There is no future in what they are waiting and hoping in. And if to remind you, the Messiah was this promised descendant of King David who was going to come and he was going to overthrow foreign power. He was going to liberate Israel and he was going to establish a kingdom of peace throughout Israel and eventually throughout the entire world. And all nations would come and worship the Lord, Yahweh, under the reign and the authority of this Messiah. And so Peter says to the crowds, Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified, was the Messiah. You missed it. You missed out on him. And through masterful preaching, he leads them to this crisis moment. And as the scripture says, the people are pierced to the heart. They are cut to the core. And they say, what shall we do? They have a response that all of us should have at crisis moments when we realize we've come to the end of ourselves. We should say, what shall we do? And in response, Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. Two different things, but they're two sides of the same coin. And I would like to walk us through this morning the effect of repentance and baptism and how they work together. So the first side of the coin is repent. Peter says to the crowds, repent. And that day, amazingly, 3,000 people respond and join the church that day. They respond to Peter's call to repentance. I think about today, and if you wanted to disperse a crowd as fast as you possibly can, you would walk into that crowd with a megaphone, and you would start yelling into that megaphone, repent, repent of your sins. And I assure you, without fail, someone might stand and look at you for a little while, but you will disperse a crowd very quickly if you just start screaming at people to repent. My cousin Cody graduated from the University of Kansas a number of years ago. And at his graduation, there was this group there that call themselves a church, even though they really don't resemble the body of Jesus Christ in any way. They were holding up signs that says, God hates fill in the blank. And all these different people groups, God hates these people. God hates these people. Repent. And while probably most of us would disagree with this group and say they're off, deep in our souls we know that, it's possible though, and our culture certainly does, that is the idea of repentance that we have in mind. That God must hate me, and so if I repent, I will avoid damnation, I will avoid hell. And that is the role of repentance. And in our guts, we know that that is not true, but it is hard to shake that when it is embedded in us. And so it is much easier to avoid God and to pretend that all of that just doesn't exist than to address that false image of God that we're given. And praise God, Fortunately, that is not at all what Peter means when he says repent. He is not saying repent because God is angry at you, as pagan religions have so often believed. He says to the effect of what N.T. Wright translates as turn around. Turn around from what you're doing and the way that you're going. And it reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, who wants his father's inheritance before his father dies, so he takes the money, and he runs away from home, and he squanders it on wild living. And he finds himself in a trough of pigs, eating from the pig slop. And he has this moment of a crisis moment and a recollection that even if I went home to my father's house as a slave, I would still eat better than this. And so in that crisis moment, the prodigal son repents. He turns around. He turns around and he goes home. And of course, what he finds is not an angry father. He finds a father whose arms are outstretched and have been waiting for him this entire time. Peter says to the crowds, repent, turn around, go home, stop eating from the pig slop. Start recognizing that the direction you're headed is a dead end, and come home. I was listening to a talk radio show this past week as I was just scanning through the radio, and I stumbled across a sermon that was being preached. And the preacher was saying that God is sending this pandemic, along with all other natural disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, God is sending these disasters on the American people so that they will repent. He's sending disaster to get America to repent of their sins, particularly their sexual sins. And that is a loaded conversation, but I think it's worth saying in this cultural moment that we find ourselves in, as many of us are listening to sermons where we're trying to explain this pandemic, and many of us are having conversations that sound very much like that, that God is sending this virus to punish us in order that we will then repent and get him to stop punishing us. And I just want to say, while it's complicated, that is not a scriptural belief, and that is not true, and that is not what we prescribe to believe. Now, certainly there are stories in the Old Testament that seem to possibly lend itself to this interpretation, but those are stories that come from hundreds of years of Israel's relationship with God and the people of Israel learning about God and learning to make sense of natural disasters. And through the New Testament and the death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that God does not respond to us in that way. God does not deal with America or other nations in that manipulative way, in that transactional way. And so while certainly there is a call right now for us to repent, it looks different. Remember, it's a turning around from our dead ways. It is not trying to get God to stop punishing us. In fact, I'd say God is not punishing us at all through this pandemic, but he is inviting us to allow the pandemic to be this crisis point that gets us to turn around. And so we turn back, as N.T. Wright describes repentance. We turn back as the virus exposes all of those dead-end things that we chase after and put our hopes in and put our love into. We are invited to renounce those things and turn back to what is true and what is real, to turn back to a heavenly Father with his arms open wide to us. And so we allow, if we open our eyes and we see it, we can see that this virus is exposing all of the things we put our hope into, all those idols of success, those idols of beauty, of wealth, power, and influence. None of that can stand up when push comes to shove. And so we are invited to turn away from those things. I think of the quote by St. Augustine, the great St. Augustine, who said, Lord, you have made us for ourselves, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you. May we repent and recognize what we're chasing is only going to leave us restless. And the only way we will find peace and rest and wholeness and redemption is by returning to the one who made us, the one who redeems us, and the one who loves us. And so you'll notice that repentance is not the only thing that we're called to. It's the first part. It's repent and be baptized. And when Peter says, be baptized, that act of baptism is in a sense repenting and then being joined to Christ, being joined to the church, receiving God's Holy Spirit within you, as the scripture says, and letting God infuse you with all of his divine life, all of his goodness, all of his truth, all of his beauty. All of that is infused into us as we repent and then are baptized in Christ. It's a total renewal of our being. And I think we need to have a rebalancing of salvation as we describe it in the evangelical community. For me growing up, maybe this is the gospel you've heard. I've heard it told over and over. What's the gospel? We are sinners. Jesus died for us. Therefore, we're forgiven. And because we're forgiven, we can go to heaven when we die. And that when a couple of years ago, there were these signs that people would hang up in their yard, or they'd put bumper stickers on their cars, and it said, forgiven, ? Forgiven, period. As if that is the whole of the gospel, as if that's the whole of salvation. But if we look at Jesus' life and we see what the scriptures are pointing us to, we see that it's so much more than that. We see that it's not just that Jesus died on the cross to buy our forgiveness. Rather, he dies on the cross, uniting us to God. He raises to life, defeating death. He ascends into heaven where he sits on the throne. He has sent his Holy Spirit to us, to dwell in us, to live in us, to make us whole and lead us into all that is good, to make us new creations. In literature and film, there are often these scenes where a character comes through a near-death experience, but they come out on the other side alive. And usually there's water that's involved in these scenes, but the character is transformed through this baptismal experience. You'll remember Lieutenant Dan from the movie Forrest Gump, that great movie from 94 with Tom Hanks, where Lieutenant Dan is his lieutenant, is Forrest's lieutenant in Vietnam. And in the midst of battle, Dan is blown up and he's lying on the ground. He's lost his legs. He's about to die. And he is ready to die. He wants to die because he wants to be a war hero. And yet Forrest saves his life. And now Dan has to live life without legs, at the mercy of someone else who will lift him and carry him around and bathe him and wash him. Dan becomes a shell of a person, and he is bitter and he is angry at Forrest for saving his life, and he's terribly angry at God for allowing this to happen to him. We see Dan later in the movie in New York City, where he is chasing the dead end of alcohol and prostitutes, and neither of those things can satisfy him, and they just perpetuate his bitterness and his anger. Somehow Dan finds his way back down in Louisiana, where he has agreed to join Forrest on a shrimp boat. And neither Dan or Forrest have shrimped before. And so, much to the perpetuation of Dan's anger and frustration, they can't catch anything. It reminds me of Peter, James, and John as they're out fishing and fishing all night and they can't catch a thing. And Dan screams out at Forrest and at God, "Where is your God now?" And it's like as he is yelling these words, as he is shaking his fist at God, a big storm blows in, and Forrest says, "God showed up." And Dan rides out this storm, this baptismal storm. He ties himself to the mast of the ship. He screams at God, "Is that the best you've got?" And he wrestles with God like Jacob wrestled with God, and he comes out the other side. And it's after this storm that Forrest and Dan find success shrimping. They have Bible-like proportions of catches of shrimp that propels their business. But it's through this baptismal scene that Dan experiences transformation. One day he looks at Forrest and says, "I never thanked you for saving my life." And for the first time, Dan can give thanks for the gift of life that he has, even if he doesn't have his legs. And he jumps off the boat and swims off in peaceful waters into the horizon. And Forrest thinks he makes peace with God that day as well. It's a transformation of Dan's character, that near-death experience of baptism. He comes out on the other side transformed. And that's what baptism does in us. God, through the waters of baptism, buries us to our old selves, and he raises us new. He renews our being and forms us in the image of Christ. He gives us a new start. And I imagine that many of us watching are at dead end points. We're at crisis points in our life. Maybe it's because of the coronavirus. Maybe it's because of the shutdown and you've not been at work. You realize how vulnerable you are. The things that you've been chasing after, the things you've been hoping for, the things you've been desiring in your life just don't hold up when you realize that all of it can come crashing down. Maybe it's not virus related, but maybe you realize in some way you are coming to the end of yourself and you need more. You need more to be whole. You need more to be saved. And it's at this moment when we come to these crisis points that we're invited by St. Peter and by Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit, who is groaning within us and calling us to the Father, to turn back. Like the prodigal son turned back and went home, we are called to return home through repentance and through baptism. My guess would be some of you haven't been baptized yet. My family is chomping at the bit to baptize our little John Taylor. We plan to baptize him soon, and then the pandemic hit, and we've not been together, and so we are waiting to baptize John. And if you've not been baptized, I would love to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and welcome you into the communion of saints in that way, and to have a big party. There'd be nothing better than to have a big baptismal service when we all return for those who are longing to be baptized. Maybe you've already been baptized, and you're kind of wondering to yourself, how does this sermon speak to me in this moment? Certainly, baptism does not solve all of our problems. We aren't baptized and then magically our will is transformed and we never sin again, we never suffer again, we never chase dead-end things. But baptism is the beginning, and it's this time when we are infused with the Holy Spirit and we are given God's Spirit within us. And we are given resurrection potential to live into all of God's truth and his beauty and his goodness. And I find that when I begin chasing dead-end things, that it's the Spirit within me that calls me home and reminds me of my identity. God reminds me who I really am. I am Jackson Taylor Moore, and I was brought to the waters of baptism by Marcel and Carol Moore. And I was dunked in the water by Frank Van Valen and Daryl Moore. And that day I received the Holy Spirit in me. I was raised a new creation. And I belong to all of the saints that have come before me. I belong to the great family of God. That is my identity. And when I stray, that is the identity that continually calls me home. I remember my baptism and I remember whose I am. And that same identity is true of you. If you have been baptized, live into that identity. When you come to a crisis moment and realize you are at a dead end, return home. Return home to who you truly are. And may that identity lead us. May the Holy Spirit lead us into a life of renewal, into a life of truth and beauty and goodness. where we see the new creation bursting forth within us and around us. I'll end with these words from Romans 6 by the Apostle Paul, these wonderful words that are so true for us. Speaking of baptism, for if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. If you have been baptized by the Lord, if the Holy Spirit has baptized you and filled you with his power, you are free from your dead ways. They have no power over you, and there is unlimited potential in the way that you can live into hope in Jesus Christ. May you experience that transformation today. Amen.